Come, Holy Spirit, quicken in our hearts so that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Part of the blessing of this day is a cooler day, isn't it? Just to pause and give God thanks for the break in the temperature. Well, this morning's lesson in some ways picks up on the message of last week. You know, that preacher that was in this pulpit, much better looking than I am, and being God's beloved. I just got a thumbs up from my wife. So. And in Hosea, the reading from Hosea, this is one of those passages where God is speaking to God's people. So I want to read it again, and I want to use the Good News translation. And as you listen to the reading, I would invite you to what is God saying about his people and God's love for his beloved that continue to be just downright rebellious. The Lord says, "When Israel was a child, I loved them and called them out of Egypt as my sons and daughters. But the more I called to them, the more they turned away from me. My people sacrificed to Baal. They burned incense to idols. Yet I was the one who taught Israel to walk. I took my people up in my arms, but they did not acknowledge that I took care of them. I drew them to me with affection and love. I picked them up and held them to my cheek. I bent down to them and fed them. They refused to return to me. They chose to go back to Egypt and Assyria instead. War will sweep through their cities and break down the city gates. It will destroy my people because they do what they themselves think best." "They insist on turning away from me. They will cry out because of the yoke that is on them, but no one will lift it from them. How can I give you up, O Israel? How can I abandon you? Could I ever destroy you as I did Admah, or treat you as I did Zebulun? My heart will not let me do it. My love for you is too strong. I will not punish you in my anger. I will not destroy Israel again, for I am God and not a mere human being. I, the Holy One, am with you. I will not come to you in anger. My people will follow me when I roar like a lion at their enemies. They will hurry to me from the west. They will come from Egypt as swiftly as birds and from Assyria like doves. I will bring them to their homes again. I, the Lord, have spoken." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Isn't that good? You have this image of this almighty God who's created the heavens and the earth and the hundreds and thousands and millions of galaxies, pausing to take time to reach down and to pick up his people with affection, like the parent that reaches their infant and brings them to their cheek, says the Lord. There is God's belovedness. There is the passion, the passionate love of God for God's people, in spite of their idolatry, in spite of our idolatry, in spite of our spiritual infidelity, in spite of our rebellious ways, God's love for us persists. Amen? Just it persists. And the Lord says, I want to say, but it's too human. I want to say God's a chief They refuse to return to me. I don't think he says geez. I don't think that's in his vocabulary. It is mine. They continue to choose life without me. Thus, they will experience violence and war. It will destroy them because they insist on doing what they themselves think best. Have you ever fallen into that? You know, to plan what we think is best. And yet God cannot give up on us. It says very clearly, God persists in loving us and calling us to return home. Well, the story of the rich man in the gospel lesson, it's a story of a man who is doing what he thinks best for himself. And there isn't any sign that he has checked in with God on this. He is rich, so there isn't any sign that he had to go to Farmer's Home or Farm Credit to get a loan. He had the money to refinance all this himself. It's a bumper crop. And he realizes there's not enough storage with all that he already has. So he makes his plan. He decides, I'm going to tear it all down, and I'm going to build new barns, new storage grain bins, big enough so that I can retire and live the good life. In other words, to eat and drink and be merry. It says in the other translation, is there an echo? That I wonder if he was a predecessor to the first Episcopal guy to eat and drink and be merry. I don't know, but I kind of like that myself. But you see in his plan where he places his trust. He places his trust in the abundance of the goods that he has and his people have worked hard for. God says to the man in the story, and this is, fool, tonight you die, and your barn full of goods, who gets it? Jesus concludes the story, this parable, with these words. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves that are not rich toward God. So it is for us who store up treasures for ourselves and are not rich toward God. It seems to me that the most important phrase in this story, in this parable, are those last words. What does it mean for you and I to be rich towards God? I kind of just let that percolate for a little while. And ultimately, I began to understand, to believe, that it is a richness towards God, is a richness in our relationship with God, to be rich in our relationship. And it's a relationship that God initiates, not us, but God initiates initially with each of us, calling us into a right relationship, calling us into the fullness of who we are as God's beloved. The psalmist, in the psalm this morning, the psalmist describes God's richness towards us in this way. And they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and God delivered them from their distress. God fed them and quenched their thirst. When they were lost, God placed them on a straight path. Do you hear the richness of God's love towards God's people in those words? Ultimately, richness towards God is about the heart. Ultimately, richness towards us from God is about the heart. God's heart seeking to be one with us, and our heart seeking to become one with Abba's heart. Here is what that looks like. There are many examples, but as I was kind of thinking about God's heart and towards us and our heart towards God, and what that looks like, it's like God took me back some 25 years ago. And Deb and I, we were living in Vermont. My first church, St. Mark's Episcopal Church. And once a week, we had a team that would go out to the nursing homes. And we would have communion. We would worship. We would sing hymns. And one of those nursing homes had an Alzheimer's unit. And we were together for a while, but the staff said, let's try to do this differently. Being with those that were a little bit more cognitive, a little bit more memory, and those that were suffering from that loss of memory. And so we did that, and it worked out really well. And you know, I have a tendency to take flowers where I go. And I discovered that those in Alzheimer's units, they would always be engaged with the flowers. I would bring whatever was blooming, and they would be in a circle, and then they would pass the flower. They would smell. They would look at it. It all worked out really well until one particular morning I looked over, and my daylily was being devoured by this one lady. So I decided I better stop taking flowers. But here's what I want to share, is that what does richness towards God look like? What does God's richness towards us look like? So in that worship time, we would sing, we would pray, but always there were two places where there was an awakening of their hearts. There was a spiritual awakening. And all of a sudden, these men and women that had lost not only memory of their loved ones, but they had lost memory of themselves, of who they are. And they had lost memory of whose they are up here. But they had not lost it here. Heart memory becomes engaged. Can you guess where those two places are? What would you think? Our Father, who art in heaven. And then all of a sudden, they were all, the Holy Spirit was quickening in their hearts. They didn't have the memory up here. They had the memory in their hearts. This is the richness of God's love towards us. And their life of richness of love towards God. And the other place was a song, a very simple song. Yes, so join me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Isn't that good? You all sound good. But that the Lord instills within us heart memory, that the Holy Spirit, the love that we have for each other, the love that God has for us, quickens, becomes activated. Love activates the heart memory. I just want to conclude with these words about our prayer of discernment for a new pastor, because I think those words reveal a richness towards God. On page 9 in your bulletin, would you, for just a moment? Just seems important to couch this prayer exactly where it's meant to be, and that's in the love and trust of God. It does, I don't know if you know, but Father Tim was one who listened and wrote the words of this prayer for us. Thank you, Tim. You do a mighty good job. But this prayer, it reflects a richness towards God, a desire to live in that right relationship, the fullness of relationship with God. And so in the prayer, most gracious and loving God, we come before you. Do you hear? Do you hear the richness? It is a deliberate act of turning to God, of seeking God's plan for our future as a people, as Grace Episcopal Church, rather than putting that plan, looking to ourselves for that plan. It is intentionally, every time we pray this prayer, it is seeking God's plan for us. In the part, unite us in heart, mind, and spirit. Pour out the Spirit's gifts of wisdom and discernment upon our vestry leaders. Guide them in choosing who you are preparing to join us as our new pastor, our new priest. Do you hear it? Can you see it? Words acknowledging that we need God's help. And we are trusting God. We are seeking God. We are not afraid to ask for help and for the one who can provide the help needed to all the various details of the search process. And so again, do you see? Can you hear? The intimate relationship with God revealed in this prayer of discernment, a relationship rooted in love and trust, in seeking God's mercy and God's plan for our Grace Episcopal Church. So in the words of the psalmist this morning, let us pray. Let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Let us give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and the wonders he does for his children. For he satisfies the thirst and fills the hungry with good things. Whoever is wise will ponder these things and consider well the mercies of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.